Greetings, basketball fiends. Welcome to a spectacular edition of Dropping Dimes, your true sense of basketball. I'm your host, Rodrigo, but you can call me Rod. And today, I am joined by the most terrifying co-host out there. The man that is faster than a zombie running after fresh brains. The master of evil, Evans, how are you?
I'm good. I had to join in on the fun.
I can't keep this up all show. I'm so sorry. I tried. I really tried.
It's good. Let's keep it that way.
I'm going to finish the intro, so bear with me. The man whose face is scarier than his voice, Raph, has not returned yet from the underworld, but he will be back next week.
Ghosted us.
That's a good one. We have such a good show today. Happy Halloween, everyone.
Happy Halloween.
It's going to be a scary good show. We don't have Raph, but he'll be back next week, like I mentioned. And God, it's so good to have the NBA back. Isn't that right?
Absolutely.
We have a lot to catch up on. We're going to quickly talk about the NBA gallery that we had here in Vancouver.
Yeah.
The preseason game that we went to.
Yeah.
Even though we're like a good five games into the season now. And we're also going to discuss a little bit of this amazing and fun beginning to the season, because we haven't had one of those in a long time. We're going to have a fun segment, a new segment for Halloween. It's called Trick or Treat. We're going to go into that. And in the end, we're going to have a scary surprise for everyone.
Ooh.
Ooh. All right. So let's dive right into things. Let's quickly catch up on the NBA gallery and the preseason game where the Mavericks and the Clippers came to Vancouver. That was about 2 weeks ago when the Mavericks came to, and the Clippers came to Vancouver for the preseason game. I had a lot of fun, to be honest.
It was a very good game.
Yeah.
It was pretty competitive, like right up to the third quarter.
Right. Yeah. It was, it didn't get decided until the fourth quarter when the Mavs just pummeled the Clippers. And I was surprised that Luka and Porzingis looked that good in a preseason game.
And played that much together, yeah.
They also played a long time, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think they're going to be a really, really dangerous combo, actually.
And they look fun already in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, they're playing loose. They're really sharing the ball. What was interesting was I didn't expect to see Boban at the game. That was pretty wild.
That was crazy. Yeah, I didn't expect him to be there.
7'4", 7'5", what is it?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
And those huge hands, it was crazy.
I think I might consider him for a Halloween character.
Yeah, it would be good. But you need a stilts or a ladder to stand on to be Boban.
For sure.
We were also part of the NBA gallery. So big shout out to NBA Canada, to Victory, Vancouver Basketball, and the Vancouver Basketball Foundation for letting us be part of the event. Because not only we got a chance to be at the event and check it out, but we were part of the staff basically, and
hands on helping,
and that was amazing. It was an absolutely amazing experience. We did a little bit of everything.
Yeah, very cool to be behind the scenes and seeing how everything was set up. People that came through, and who do we have come through? We had like Tim Hardaway.
We had
Kenny Smith.
Yeah, Andrew Bernstein. So just to give an idea to everyone, think about an art gallery, right? Like a fancy one where, you know, you have your main pieces and there's a bunch of stuff around. What Victory, Vancouver Basketball, and the Foundation, and NBA Canada did is that they basically turned that, but with a basketball concept. And the main work was that of Andrew D. Bernstein, who is the NBA senior photographer. And you probably haven't seen him. I wouldn't be surprised if you don't know you know what he looks like.
But you've definitely seen his photos.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, that image of Jordan soaring through the air from the free throw dunk.
Yeah.
A image of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson battling for a rebound.
Jordan's first championship. Trophy with his father.
Yeah, where he's crying.
Yeah.
Holding on to the trophy.
And to hear the story that Andrew told.
Yeah.
About how he got there. And how he got that shot was pretty cool.
Yeah, so these and many, many more iconic shots, those were taken by Andrew Bernstein and his team. So it was kind of crazy to see. So Andrew came to Vancouver one of the nights on Thursday, I believe.
Friday.
The Friday.
Yeah, after the game.
And it was absolutely crazy to have him sit in a public panel. Mm-hmm. It was open to the public and answering questions. And he was so approachable. Same as Tim Hardaway. I mean,
they
were both super approachable. They were answering questions. They were telling stories.
Yeah.
It was once in a lifetime opportunity.
I think at one point I saw a kid ask Tim Hardaway for a tour around the gallery to show him where his photos were, and he was super excited to do it. So it was really nice to see that, you know, a player that hasn't been in the league this long and still has fans from a new generation was pretty neat.
Yeah. And we also saw the original artwork. So there were not only photographs, but there was commissioned work from two amazing artists. So we had Christoph Roberts, who is based out of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And he did his work is basically using shoe boxes.
Yeah.
So, you know, the shoe boxes that you get with your fresh pair of Nikes, he repurposes them and makes these fantastic art pieces.
Yeah.
If you have a chance, look him up on Instagram. He did this fantastic grizzly head.
Yeah.
That was a celebration of the Vancouver Grizzlies.
Yeah.
And you could almost hear the grizzly roar.
Yeah.
It was so badass.
Pretty epic, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a nice piece. A lot of shoeboxes used, obviously. That's his main medium. And I think he had another piece where it was like the Raptor.
Yeah.
Old Raptor grizzly or Raptor logo. That was pretty sweet as well. So yeah, really, really good artwork. And the other artist was
Matthew Senna,
yeah.
Who had I would consider one of the many pieces de resistance of the gallery.
Right.
It was this, how many? I think there were 18?
Yeah.
18 pairs of Air Jordans from 1 to 18.
Mm-hmm.
But they were...
In bronze.
Covered in bronze. And the Jordan ones that were in a pedestal of their own that were plated in gold.
Mm-hmm.
And they were absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
I mean,
details.
Yeah. I'm not a Jordans kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
I only have one pair and they're the ones, but I was just drooling in front of that piece. It was absolutely fantastic.
It was hard to keep people's hands off that thing too.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone wanted to touch them. Like, excuse me.
Yeah.
No touching.
I know.
Get out of there. It's
super tempting though. Like just seeing how detailed this piece of artwork was, like pretty amazing.
Yeah. No, it was absolutely fantastic. And just overall, like getting to see so many people that are passionate about basketball in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I almost saw a fan of every team.
Yeah.
I saw people that had Knicks jerseys.
Yeah.
Utah jerseys.
Atlanta Hawks jerseys.
Everything, yeah. Really. Like, I think the only one that I did not see was maybe the Pelicans.
Yeah.
But arguably from all 29 other teams, I think at one point I saw one of each.
Yeah.
At one point.
I think that's pretty accurate.
And everyone came in and just, you know, had a fantastic time enjoying the gallery, enjoying the photos.
Mm-hmm.
And it really opened up for a conversation where, like, I saw, you know, parents and their kids enjoying, you know, the photos from Magic. Obviously, the parents were telling their kids about the 80s and maybe early 90s. And then their kids were more excited about, you know, the 2000s, the 2010s. You know, we had the iconic shot of Kawhi after his crazy four-rebound shot.
Yeah.
And that was also a conversation starter for everyone. So
yeah,
it was just, for a basketball nerd like we are,
yep,
it was absolutely fantastic.
It was pretty amazing.
Yeah. So
just to be in that room with all those memories and iconic moments.
Yeah.
They also did some really good video work where they... You know, they showed a footage and then they would zoom in on the picture and show that, you know, that moment was captured that way.
Right.
So, yeah, that was really neat. Also, we had Natalie Achanwa as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well. I almost forgot about that.
Mention that. But, yeah, they had like a women's panel.
It was women in sports, basically, because the president of the Clippers, who's... I'm so sorry. I forgot the names. I should have prepared this. And the president of the Mavericks, both... women in sports and the
trainers.
Two trainers, one for the Mavericks, one for the Clippers, also women, and they were talking about the importance of, you know, empowering women in sports in general, truly, and how we as men can also advocate for women in the sports that are qualified. And it was it was refreshing, honestly, because we don't get those takes often because, again, male-dominated arena, sports, basketball in general. So it was great to get that side and and learn more because there's, I mean, these women are absolutely wonderful. I mean, they're running basketball teams, right?
Totally.
And that's not an easy job.
No. It's cool to see that it wasn't just a gallery and that it was like a full-on event where there was talks and games and activations throughout the city. So
right.
Very cool.
So shout out again, big, big shout out to NBA Canada, Victory, Vancouver Basketball and Vancouver Basketball Foundation for letting us be part of that. We cannot thank you enough for that opportunity. And yeah, no, thanks again. We had a lot of fun.
Very, very cool.
All right. Let's talk about the spooktacular beginning of this season. If anyone out there wants to count the times that I say spooktacular in this episode, you get brownie points for that. So how about them Clippers and Lakers?
That was a good game.
Do we have finally a rivalry in LA?
I hope so. I think that one game alone, Kawhi really showed out.
It was, I think LeBron was a little bit rusty, or he looked rusty in that first game.
Right.
But Anthony Davis looked absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, he looks like he's in good form.
He's in really good shape. I mean, he looks like he wants to go out there and win an award.
Or a championship.
Or a championship. That would be even better. The Clippers look very scary. And I'm not just saying that because it's a Halloween special.
I'm sure you are.
But they are a scary team.
They're very, yeah.
I usually get on my character where I hit on the Clippers and the Celtics, but I have to admit that that's not a team you want to face in the playoffs.
Ooh, are you worried about the Lakers?
No, actually not.
No?
Okay, I'm going to get in some hot water here. I don't think the Clippers are as good as they think they are. Because you have players like, and don't get me wrong, I'm going to talk about Patrick Beverley. He's got a lot of heart. And as someone that is not very skilled, like I'm not the fastest, I don't jump the highest, I don't have a good jump shot. All you can do is give your heart out in the court.
Yeah.
And he does that.
Yeah, he plays his role.
But I think he's slightly overrated.
As a defender?
As a defender.
Okay.
Not even as an overall player. As an overall player, I think he's a terrific role player.
Mm-hmm.
He's the heart of the team, probably.
Okay.
But I think, you know, everyone's putting him in the conversation of best defenders ever. And he just fouled out the other night.
Right.
Against Trae Young and the Hawks, I believe.
That's a tough guard, too, so I don't blame him.
Yeah, and younger and whatnot, but it's like,
And his style of defense, too, is very aggressive.
He's a bulldog, don't get me wrong. But I have these very conflicted thoughts on, like, I respect him.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't think he's the defender. He's not Bruce Bowen. You know what I mean?
Right. He doesn't have that size, that's for sure.
He doesn't have a jump shot.
And a lot of times it looks like he's guarding some of the bigger players on the other team.
He's got a lot of hustle.
So his role is really just to get under your skin.
And he does that very well.
Yeah, and I think that's what most people are overlooking. Like, sure, he might not be a good defender in the sense that he can, you know, stick with a player or be in front of him, but for him to be right into the players' grills and talking trash the entire time and just not backing down, I think there's not too many guys that can do that. So,
yeah,
I tip my hat off to that.
I don't know. He makes me feel weird emotions that I haven't felt in a long time. But I don't know what people are calling it the Battle of LA, some of the hallway battle or whatever.
Yeah,
it's fun to finally see the Lakers having their younger brother being actually really good and battling for honor, for bragging rights, basically.
I think the Avery Bradley on the Lakers now is kind of like their version of Patrick Beverley, you know.
I wouldn't say that.
A defensive stopper, he's probably a bit better scorer.
Yeah, and a little bit bigger.
But he might not have that role now on the Lakers.
He's not a dog, right? He's not like that bulldog that Patrick Beverley is. But yeah, I mean, the Clippers are going to be scary. I think the Lakers, as the season progresses and as LeBron dropped 32 the other night, so he's still the king in my mind.
Right.
Kawhi is obviously playing out of his mind right now.
Yeah.
And some people are putting him ahead of LeBron already. I'm not gonna get into that.
That's an episode on its own. Yeah.
But I'm just gonna say I don't blame people that think that Kawhi is already better than LeBron. I still think LeBron is better. But
Kawhi is on the come up.
But Kawhi is right there. If one is 1A, the other one is 1B.
I would agree. Yeah.
But yeah, so I think the Lakers will be fine. I think it's safe to finally lock them for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Barring any horrible injuries that could happen. I mean, AD is injury prone.
Yeah. Knock on wood.
But the Clippers are also somewhat injury prone. I mean, I haven't seen Kawhi taking long breaks yet.
Right.
And Paul George hasn't come back.
Still out, yeah.
So we'll see. But they do have a good bench.
Yeah.
So that's going to be scary as the season progresses and we get into the playoffs, because that's when the bench comes in handy.
Right.
All right. Cool. Let's keep talking about the other teams that are being surprisingly good. And this is an overreaction because obviously we've only had four to five games.
Yeah.
But the teams that remain undefeated are the 76ers, the San Antonio Spurs, the Timberwolves, and that's it. Everyone has lost at least once. So the Sixers, Spurs, and the Timberwolves. How are we feeling about them?
So the Hawks aren't undefeated, right?
No, the Hawks just lost their second game today.
Oh, okay.
Actually, in some quote-unquote breaking news, because by the time that you listen to this podcast, you've already seen that, but Trae Young went out with an apparent ankle injury.
Oh, shit.
And I don't know much about what's going on with him, but
it
looked serious, but apparently the x-rays came negative, as in there is no broken tissue or anything like that.
Oh,
so he might have just rolled it really bad.
Damn. He's been looking really good. I'm actually excited to watch the Hawks these days.
I know, right? They're a fun team. I mean, they're 2-2. I didn't expect them to even win two games at this point. So, yeah, the Hawks and the Timberwolves are on a mini roll of three games.
Yeah, I think Andrew Wiggins is slowly coming back to form again.
I don't know.
Come on, give the guy some credit. I know Jimmy Butler's been gone for a while from the Timberwolves, but him being there really had Andrew Wiggins take a back seat. So I think he's maybe making his way back now.
I'm not going to go into Wiggins Island. I'm not getting on that ferry. But some people, like some in some other pods, like No Dunks, Skeets, and Taz, they've already bought property in Wiggins Island.
Oh.
But I'm not moving there.
No hope?
Nope. No.
We'll have to see.
Now, Karl Anthony Towns, yeah.
Yeah.
He's having already an amazing beginning of the season.
Doing it all inside, outside.
We already had the Raptors are not as bad as I thought they would be, to be honest. I kind of dissed them in conversations with friends saying, you know, I think they're going to make the playoffs, but I mean, they're a good group.
They're a great group, yeah. Pascal is playing out of his mind right now.
Same as Van Vliet. Van Vliet is having a good start of the season.
Big fans of those two right now.
And those 90s uniforms.
Oh, and the court.
That was pretty. The warm-ups. Yeah. Did you see the warm-ups?
No, I didn't catch that.
They look sick. There's something broken about, I don't know, it's the nostalgia. Probably because we're millennials.
Yeah, that's true. We've seen it.
Yeah.
It's what they started with. So, yeah, it looks really good.
Do you have a team that has been a disappointment so far in the season, Evans?
To be honest, I don't really know what the records are with most of these teams right now.
I'm gonna go with
a little early.
I'm gonna go with the Kings, with the Sacramento Kings.
A disappointment.
Yeah, because they haven't won a single game.
Oh, jeez.
And
what's new?
No, but they were, you know, last year were a team that they seemed to be fun, young.
Yeah, we have people telling me they might make the playoffs this year.
Not at this pace.
I don't think so either.
They've lost some games in not horrible fashion, but, well, except for one of them. But, yeah, I mean, they're young. They have the talent. They are healthy. Yeah.
As long as they stay healthy.
Maybe it's the new coach. Shout out to Luke Walton.
he's supposed to be a good coach.
He is a good coach.
With the younger guys, at least.
Yeah, but I don't know what's wrong with them. And
it's early. They'll get it together.
And the Zion-less Pelicans, they're still looking for their first win. Same as the Pacers. Those are the only teams that haven't won just yet after three or four games.
Pacers is a little more understandable. They don't have Victor back yet, right?
No, not yet.
So, yeah, they don't even really have a score.
But Pelicans, Kings, yeah, I'm disappointed. I thought, Grizzlies would be at Pelicans the very bottom.
Don't have Zion, so.
But they have, you know, Lonzo Ball, right. Brandon Ingram, who, by the way, people out there who are listening, when they were in the Lakers, like, oh, they're so overrated, blah, 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 blah. They switched jerseys like, oh, my God, look at these underdogs. They're such good players. Stop with your double morale, people. Give me a break. Just because they're wearing purple and gold, they suck. The moment they change teams, oh, my God, look at these amazing players. Why there was no one ever talking about them? Stop hating. Sorry, that was my
rant of the day.
Yeah. All right.
Are we ready for some trick or treat?
Let's play some trick or treat. Welcome to our new segment, our Halloween special. What was that? What's supposed to be? Was that a raven or something? It was
supposed to be like a witch or a monkey. I don't even know.
Let's play some trick or treat, where I'm going to give you five statements that we've prepared. And we'll decide, both of us, if it's a trick, if it's false. If it's a treat, if it's true.
All right.
Are you ready?
Let's give it a shot.
Let's do this. All right. First statement. The Clippers will win the NBA championship. Trick or treat? What do you think?
I'm going to go with the treat.
Treat?
Yeah. Just because I know you're going to be all Lakers. But actually, there's a valid point. I mean, they have guys that could kill it on both ends, and I'm talking about Kawhi and Paul George when he comes back healthy, and also Lou Will and Montrezl Harrell. They're just automatic when they're out there, and I don't think Lakers have those pieces where guys can just come in and score in a ton. So yeah, I think they might do it.
I'm gonna go with trick just because the Clippers as an organization, they've never made it to the conference finals, and I think there's some bad scary vibes around
some curse around
their side of Staples Center.
Their side.
There's a curse. Yeah, someone opened
all under the same
sarcophagus
roof.
Or something that was cursed, and either injuries or some other team is gonna punk them. The Suns already beat them, so the Suns, the Valley Boys have
Valley
already.
Valley Boys, man, they're good right now.
Shout out to John, by the way. They've already proven the NBA that the Clippers are beatable. And one if game. The Suns can beat them, then that means that game. Anyone has a shot.
That's no PG, though.
Still, you know, Kawhi's going to take a few nights off.
Right.
I mean, I know. And when it comes to playoffs, everyone's going to turn it up to 21. But just as Kawhi and Paul George, I mean, are going to do that, everyone else is going to do it, right?
Yes.
Look at what happened with OKC. They had Russell Westbrook and Paul George, right? And a good cast of players. And who knocked them out?
The Portland Trailblazers. That's Westbrook, man. We're talking about Kawhi and Paul George, though. How are you going to get past that backcourt?
We'll see.
Then you throw in Patrick Beverley. It's a wrap.
I just went on a rant on how I think he's overrated as a defender.
You shall see.
We'll see. But let us know at home what you think. All right. Second statement. The Warriors will not make the playoffs this year.
Ooh,
trick or treat?
Man. I gotta give that one some thought. You know what? By the looks of it right now, I think it's a treat. So true. The Warriors will not make the playoffs this year. Sadly.
I'm also gonna go with treat here. A long time ago, I said that they would just because of Steph Curry, but I think he also wants a season off.
You think he just wants a break?
I think so.
Oh, man, he's more of a competitor than that.
He is. I'm not saying...
I'm just talking about the rest of the cast. I've seen a couple of games, and they're just lacking in size. The chemistry's quite there.
Yeah.
I mean, D'Angelo is a scorer, but he can't play defense like Klay does. So.
Yeah. But let's be real. Probably Klay Thompson is not going to come back.
No.
Right?
He shouldn't.
And he shouldn't.
Yeah.
You're right. So what does that leave us with? Just Steph Curry going supernova. And I think, and when I say he wants the season off, I don't mean like he's going to mail it in.
Right.
By no means. But I think he's just going to kind of enjoy taking a bit of a backseat and not having to carry. And also, I don't think he can carry the entire team.
No.
Draymond, I mean, he said the other night that they freaking sucked. He was right.
They're not what they were in the past few years.
Exactly. And
it's going to be building time for a while.
Exactly. So add all the things that we just mentioned to the fact that every other team, all the other 29 teams, are going to go on the revenge tour every time they go to San Francisco.
I love that comment that your boy Pat Beverly made about how the Warriors, it's finally fair or whatever, because they've been cheating the past few years.
But did you see what he told Steph Curry? And I just read that this morning, I think. Apparently he went up to Steph Curry and he said, the past 5 years have been yours, the next five are mine. And then Steph Curry said, aren't you 31 though?
Oh, man. That's good.
So Steph's got jokes.
Surprised you didn't say 41.
All right, so we both think it's a treat. This is going to happen.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. Wasn't there talks about Steph having an MVP season this year too?
Which, I mean, it's still in the table, right? It's early.
I guess, but it's very early.
But usually the MVP is given to, or in the past few years,
a winning team.
Yeah. And, you know,
so we can write a that member off of if you're not going to make the playoffs.
And a team that is highly seeded. Right?
Yeah.
Like 1-3 at least?
3-4 at least, yeah.
Yeah. Not to a team that is barely making the playoffs. So, we'll see, but I don't think so. All right, next one. The Celtics will regret losing Kyrie Irving. Trick or treat?
Oh, man. I give that one some thought. You want to go ahead?
I think that's a trick. I don't think the Celtics will win as many games as they did.
Okay.
But I don't think they'll regret losing Kyrie. Just because I don't want to talk about what was reported this morning as in his mood swings and whatnot, because I truly don't know what's going in his head.
Right.
And what kind of individual he is. But he doesn't seem like a leader.
Yeah, there was that whole talk last year where he called up LeBron and apologized about that situation. Yeah, you know what? I think I'm going with trick as well. Or as in, it's a false statement.
And I think the Celtics now, you know, they're going through this weird transition where they went from having all these assets where they still hold on to a good number of them.
Yeah.
But for the longest time, people were talking about the Celtics as, you know, this powerhouse of assets, but they haven't used them in any way other than draft picks. And they've drafted well, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But other than that, they haven't been a threat. They haven't landed any major free agent other than Kyrie when he wanted to be traded, and Gordon Hayward.
Right.
But
I mean, they got Kemba, and he's holding up the team right now.
But I don't know if I do think that Kyrie is a better player than Kemba. And
individually
younger as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Kemba might be a better leader in the locker room. I agree. But I don't know if they can go far with this team without having the, you know, Jason Tatum's and Jaylen Brown's exploding and having a fantastic season.
Right.
And also Gordon Hayward having a great season.
Right. He seemed to have been taking a back seat.
Yeah.
Quieter now.
But at least they can have their own culture within the locker room.
Yeah.
And not have to be distracted with whatever Kyrie has to say or doesn't have to say.
Yeah, I think that plays a huge part, because a lot of it was his ego and Brad Stevens not really being able to like work with him.
Yeah.
To sort of get the team to gel and play together. So I don't think the Celtics regret losing Kyrie at all. They got a good replacement. I mean, if anything, I think they regret losing Terry Rozier. He was a great spark off the bench.
True.
Great defender. Yeah. But who knows?
All right. Let's move on to the next one. Zion will not win Rookie of the Year. Trick or treat?
That's a treat. So it's true.
Oh, that was quick.
He's not even playing. He's injured.
For, what is it, 6 to 8 weeks, right?
And then he's going to slowly come back. And, yeah, who knows? He might be out of shape by then.
So, if I'm not mistaken, he got his meniscus removed from his knee, from one of his knees. I'm not sure which one yet.
Oh, so he actually just went with removing it.
Yeah, okay. Which, I'm not a doctor. So, if there's any doctors out there listening, please tweet at us or contact us on Instagram. But the meniscus is basically padding for your knees, right?
Yeah.
In simple terms. Now, a guy that big, that huge,
might need it.
Might need a little bit of padding on his knees.
But right? He got it removed.
But he chose to have it removed.
Yeah.
So the other people that were talking about this were from The Ringer. And they said they compared it to Dwayne Wade, who also got his meniscus removed early in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And now, or after getting it removed and after having a prosperous career, Dwayne Wade said that he sort of regrets doing that because he thinks he might have a longer career had he not removed that.
Hmm.
But, and that's Dwayne Wade, who is a guard. I mean, still heavy, still strong.
Bigger guard, yeah.
But Zion is huge.
It's thick.
Zion's thick, yes. So I don't know. I hope he comes back in full strength. We all want to see him play.
I don't even know who else would be in the running for Rookie of the Year, to be honest.
Ja Morant? Yeah, he's having a good beginning of the season.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah, I'd be fine seeing that.
And he's going to rock that Vancouver Grizzlies throwback.
That's a pretty sick jersey, actually.
Yeah.
What number is Ja Morant?
I think 20. Can't remember right now.
I have to consider that jersey.
But with Zion, I don't know. Is he going to be...
It's rough. The anticipation for him to start the season, and now he's sitting, and we don't know how his health is going to be coming back. It's going to be a tough climb for him.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, Ja Morant is number 12. I'm going to correct myself there.
Cool.
What do you think would have to happen for Zion to win Rookie of the Year? Other than some conspiracy theory that Rafael could probably tell us about right now?
Lead his team. Get a good record. Make the playoffs, maybe.
Make the playoffs?
Yeah.
That's a bold statement. Well, so basically carry the Pelicans throughout the next...
Pretty much. When he gets back.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's not happening.
Because also, I don't know if the Pelicans are going to let him play for the rest of the season, or is he going to have some load management?
Wow.
Like rest a little bit. I mean, if he's the guy in the long run,
yeah,
why put him in a place where he might get hurt in his first season, right?
Right.
Or do you think that he might sit this one out? I mean, Joel Embiid sat his first season out. Blake Griffin.
Ben Simmons.
It
sounds like a trend.
Yeah.
Yeah, if the doctors think that's the best route, and then I think that's what they should go with.
We'll see. We'll find out. That's scary for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Last statement here. The Phoenix Suns, the Valley Boys, will make the playoffs. Trick or treat. They're 2-2 as of today, October 29th. And this is 29th. Without
DeAndre Ayton, right?
Yeah, because he was suspended for quite 25 a bit of games.
Yeah.
For finding a diuretic in his body, which some people are speculating was a masking agent.
Hmm.
So, in simple terms, that means that some people think, and I don't have this information, so I have no way of validating it, that he was on something else and he used this diuretic to cleanse his body.
Right.
But he got caught. And he got served with a...
It was already a banned substance or whatever
this,
from the NBA.
This substance, yeah.
But I guess he didn't know.
That's what he is claiming.
Right.
That he didn't know what he was putting into his body, basically, and it was a stupid mistake. I mean, as far as I know, he deserves the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
And he's innocent until proven guilty. But even then, that's the Phoenix Suns... beat the Clippers without Ayton and without Ricky Rubio in the lineup. Okay. So, and they're 2-2. It's early in the season, but I don't know.
It's kind of wild to speculate whether the Phoenix Suns will make the playoffs and Warriors not making the playoffs. It's kind of kind of crazy.
I'm going to go with trick. Just for the only reason that there are other teams like the Blazers, the Nuggets, the Mavericks, the Jazz, the Rockets. Right.
It's the West is still pretty strong. Yeah. Yeah, I might have to go with trick. As much as I want it to be true or treat. Yeah, give it another year. I mean, Devin Booker is great and all, but yeah, they need a full squad. And I don't know, this Ayton incident might be a bit of a distraction.
Yeah.
I don't know. Valley Boy is going to have to hold off.
As long as they can keep that momentum into next season.
That's true, yeah.
Then I think that next year, then yeah, we can consider them into the playoffs race. But not this year, boys.
Not this year.
All right. Let's move on to our last segment of the show, of this super scary show. We're gonna call it our scary starting five. So Evans and I chose our scariest lineup of players from point guard to center. And it didn't matter which decade they played on. It didn't matter the team. We're just picking what we consider to be our scariest lineup.
Okay. We're leaving it pretty open-ended here, I think.
I know.
Just scariest. And we're not talking about skill-wise.
We're not talking about skill-wise. We're talking about looks.
What are we actually talking about then?
I just... I made that...
Keep it open-ended?
Yeah.
All right.
Do you want to start? Do you want me to start?
I think you should start. Are we going in any position order?
I did it by position. I did my scary draft by position.
Okay.
But because when I first started thinking about my first iteration of the scary lineup was all centers. For some reason, it was all big men.
I'm thinking about a few right now, and a lot of them are as well. I don't know why.
So I don't know. Maybe because they guard the paint.
It might be an all-center team for me.
Yeah, but I tried my best to go through 1 through 5.
Oh, man.
So here's...
From any era.
Any of them.
All right.
So here you go. Ready? At point guard. Or I should say, at point guard, I have Sam Cassell.
Oh, my gosh. I actually thought about him, too.
He's taken.
Does that mean... Oh, I got to choose another. I was going to go backwards. I was going to go with the centers, but...
Yeah.
Go ahead. You can
All right.
describe
Sam Cassell. At shooting guard.
Or you're just going through the lineups.
I'm just
going
to go through
them. Okay.
I have James Harden.
Oh, yeah, you got Fear the Beard.
Yeah, Fear the Beard, exactly. Yeah,
that's a given.
And Sam Cassell...
He's just an alien.
He looks scary. He could back you up.
Actually, this reminds me. I've been to a Clippers game where I saw some guy wearing a t-shirt with Sam Cassell's face, and it was super stretched, so it made him look more like Shrek or something. So, great pick.
Yeah, thank you.
That's an easy one.
So far, I think it's scary, both in looks and ability.
Okay.
My next pick at small forward have Matt Barnes.
Okay.
That guy's scary. He scared me at least.
He's a bit of a thug.
He's a G.
Yeah.
He never seemed scared to throw some hands.
Yeah.
There
was this, I think there was a Vice sports documentary about his upbringing and being in, California with all the Bloods and Crips and gangs, and his father was involved in it. So, he comes from a pretty scary background.
He's got that look, and honestly,
he tried to throw the ball at Kobe's face. Well, Kobe never flinched. Not only that, couple of fights here and there.
Yeah, and him and Derek Fisher had a love triangle of sorts, where Derek Fisher dated his wife, ex-wife.
Damn.
But there was a time, and this is a tabloid story, but it's NBA related, so that's how I happen to know about it. And I think it was pretty well known, but Matt Barnes went to pick up his son or something like that, and to his ex-wife's house, and Derek Fisher was there. And Matt Barnes got completely pissed off. He was infuriated. Wow. So he chased Derek Fisher inside the house until the authorities were called. And this is where I'm not clear whether Matt Barnes gave up on chasing on him, or the authorities were calling. He was like, okay, let's not go there.
And I've never heard that story before.
So, pretty scary dude.
Yeah.
He wasn't a scorer, but He was an scrappy okay defender.
Yeah.
And he would just give you a mean look and you'd be terrified. At power forward, I have the Worm, Dennis Rodman.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Why? Because he's scary. He was part of the Detroit Bad Boys.
Yeah.
Then he went through all his crazy look phases. And he was still crazy in the rebounds. He once kicked a cameraman.
Yes. Ran the crotch, too.
Yeah. So that's scary.
That's pretty scary.
And at number five, at the center position.
Drum roll.
I have Boban Marjanovic.
Ooh.
I mean, he's a super sweet guy, or so it seems to be.
Yeah.
He's got a bromance with Tobias Harris. He was playing with Luka during that preseason game in the bench.
Right.
But I mean, if there's a human being that can wrap my entire head in one of his hands, that's freaking scary.
Yeah.
And also he's like, what, 2 meters and like, he's almost 3 meters tall. That's a scary sight. That's a scary sight.
Very.
So again, my scary team is Sam Cassell, James Harden, Matt Barnes, Dennis Rodman, and Boban Marjanovic.
Damn. I don't know if I could top that.
Give
it's
it a shot.
It's a pretty scary lineup you got there.
Thank you.
I might go backwards. I'm going to start with the bigs.
All right.
My first one. So I'm going to go with George Mirosan.
The original Boban.
The original Boban. Yeah. Very similar.
Right, right.
I mean, 7'7".
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, we had in the same era, there was Sean Bradley, 7'6".
Yeah.
But he looked like, you know, a friendly guy. But when you just look at George Mirosan, you're just like, holy crap. Where's this guy from?
He's intimidating for sure.
So that would be, that'd be my number two. Power forward. Oh, man, it's a tough call. Is Ron Artest a power forward? No, he's more like a three.
He's small, yeah. But Ron Artest.
I'm going to go Ron Artest for
Meta World Peace, Ron Artest.
Yeah, how ironic. Meta World Peace. We've all seen what he did at the Palace. So don't throw anything at him.
It was a dark day for the NBA, but it's perfectly fitting for this segment.
Oh yeah. And let's see here, shooting guard. You got any honorable mentions?
I had a Shaq.
Oh yeah. Oh, we already did the center though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was up there. I had Ewing too.
Patrick Ewing is pretty scary.
Yeah, he's
super sweaty. Patrick Ewing as a monster, super scary. I had my original draft had Russell Westbrook at point guard because.
Oh yeah, his intensity.
He's out of his mind.
Yeah.
He's super intense. I think last night he said, "I don't have any friends in the court. My only friend is Spalding."
What the heck?
Because he was playing the Thunder, so he was going at his former teammates.
About Charles Oakley.
Ooh, that's a good pick.
I'm gonna go with Charles Oakley.
Yeah.
I've seen him in a couple of fights. I mean, the guy got escorted out of Madison Square Garden, was it 2 years ago?
About that, yeah.
I can't remember what happened.
And it took like 2 or 3 guards to escort him out.
So, yeah, I'd definitely go with Charles Oakley. Am I missing one or two here?
You're missing two, I believe. Two. So you had George Mirosan, right? Then yeah. Oakley, then Ron Artest. Oh, no, you're missing two.
A couple, eh? You know what? For my point guard, I'm gonna go with GP.
Gary Payne. Yeah, pretty scary.
Because he would not stop barking at you. So there's the point guard. And, you know, last one.
Shooting guard was a tough one because...
I don't know what it is.
You know, obviously the first few names that come to mind are Kobe, Michael Jordan... James Harden.
And it's from any era.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Bruce Bowen.
Bruce Bowen?
Bruce Bowen.
Scary dude, for sure.
Just for the cheap shots that he was known for throwing back in the day.
Now that I think about it, yeah, he was
some a bit people of a maniac.
He was a bit dirty.
Yeah, dirty player.
No, scary.
That would be my five.
Let us know what is your scary starting five. And we'll compare on Instagram who's got the scariest starting five out there. I think that's it for this spooky and horrendous edition. Episode of Dropping Dimes. But as always, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please rate us 5 stars and leave a review. Otherwise, you'll have horrible nightmares about Raphael being in your dreams. And you certainly don't want that. Follow us on Instagram at dropping.dimes, on Twitter at dropping_dimes1, facebook.com/dropping.dimes1, because without the one, that's not us. Website www.dropping-dimes.com, and drop us a line, send us an email. It's kind of lonely out there. contact@dropping-dimes.com. This has been the Dropping Dimes crew signing off from the land of the dead. We'll see you next week. Peace out.